Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, Text 57. Etan sa'asthaya paratmanishtam ajasitam purvatamai mahashivi aham tarisyami daram siparam Tamo Mukundhangri Nisheva Yaiva. Translation. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who have fixed in devotion, firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse is quoted by Krishna Das Kaviraj in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. So we're very fortunate to hear directly from Goloka Vrindavan, from Srila Prabhupada, whose voice and sound vibration carries the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord and is imbued with his own faith or conviction in devotional service. And therefore, so it's always very, very important to read his books and hear his convictions. Ramanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Because he can instill within your heart the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. Ramanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan. The living entity is very fortunate after Brahmanda Brahmate, after going around and around in this universe, we can imagine how many universes we've actually been in, how many bodies we've been in, all 8,400,000 species of life. Every single animal we see, from a hideous snake to a peaceful cow, we've actually experienced that particular body. And since we're in the material world since time immemorial, who can say how many times we've experienced that? So there's a dynamicism coming to the human form of life, which we sometimes forget, that it's a very rare thing, and to actually come in contact with Krishna consciousness and come in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord who can give us the seed of devotional service. Kumara achare tragyo. Even those who are kumara, even young children, achare tragyo. They're very, very intelligent. Dharma and Bhagavitanaha, if they can worship the Supreme Lord, Dulabham Manasanjanma, because Tadapya Dhruvam Artadam, that even though this human body, just like all the other bodies and billions of species of life, billions of living entities that are probably within your body and within your room right now, souls just like you, we're all temporary. We're temporarily in this body. Adruvam, tarapya adruvam, artadam, madasan janma dulabha. But this human form of life is very rare. Artadam, it has value. And why does it have value? It has value because we can come to the platform of sanity, to goodness, to free will, and we can actually consciously make decisions to improve our life. Our fate is determined by the decisions we make now. So fortunate to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his true representatives. Because Konya Bhagavan Bhakti Lata Bij, and what is the Bhakti Lata Bij? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it's the faith or conception that serving Krishna, the faith in serving God. And I can say personally myself that although I can remember in my life having some natural attraction to God, even though I didn't have much understanding about God, and probably at times in my life I didn't even think he existed. But before meeting Prabhupada and getting that bhakti lata bij, that faith, that strong conception, that to trust in something sublime, trust in what? To serve God and some attraction for serving God, serving Krishna. So that's the most fortunate thing. And Prabhupada implanted it in our hearts because of his intense faith and conviction in which he spoke. So his words were realized. So let's hear his purport on this verse. With the deepest humility and deepest gratitude, to be able to hear from pure devotee. In connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1 it is also stated, anasrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sannyasi chiyogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service is. The word paratma nishta means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratma, the supreme person, is Krishna. Ishvara parama Krishna satyananda vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasi. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepted the three dandas. Later Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a tridandi was paratmanishta. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as tridandi sannyasi. The Mayavadi sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the purpose of tridanda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanishta, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyas. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyas, namely, Ekdanda, he still recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridandi sannyas accepted by the Brahmin of Avantipur. Indirectly, he declared that within the Ekdanda, one danda, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekdanda sannyas without Paratma Nishtha, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the jiva danda to the tridandi. These four dandas bound together as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. because the eight Dandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school are not devoted to the service of Krishna. They try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. They accept the impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a three Dandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an eight Dandi sannyasi. This is due to their divartha, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as an eight Dandi sannyasi. Indeed, the three Dandi sannyasi is accepted as a symbolic representation of the sannyas order. By citing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis who are enamored of the external energy of the Lord cannot understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To date, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following in his footsteps accept the sannyas order and keep the sacred thread and tuft of unshaved hair. The eight Dandi sannyasi of the Mayavadi school gives up the sacred thread and do not keep any tuft of hair. Therefore, they are unable to understand the purport of Tridanda sannyas, and as such, they are not inclined to dedicate their lives to the service of Mukunda. They simply think of merging into the existence of Brahman because of their disgust with the material existence. The acharyas who advocate the Daivivan ashram do not accept the proposition of a Suryavan ashram, which maintains that the social order of Vana is indicated by birth. The most intimate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Gadadhar Pandit, accepted the Tridanda Sannyas and also accepted Madhava Upadhyaya as his Tridandi Sannyasi disciple. It is said that from the Madhva Acharya, the Sampradaya known in Western India as the Vallabhas Acharya Sampradaya has begun. Srila Gopal Bhatta Basu, who is also known as a Smitya Acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, later accepted the Tridandi Sannyas order from Tridandi Pad, the Bodhananda Saraswati. Although acceptance of Tridanda Sannyas is not distinctly mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnav literature, the first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita advocates that one should accept the Tridanda Sannyas ordered by controlling the six forces. Vajravegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Udvipastavegam, Etan vegam yo vishahita dira sarvam apimam pativinnasishyat. One who could control the forces of speech, mind, anger, belly, tongue, and genitals is known as a Goswami and is competent to accept disciples all over the world. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accepted the Mayavad order of sannyas, and for this they cannot be blamed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sridhar Swami, who is a Tridandi sannyasi, but the Mayavadi sannyasis, not understanding Sridhar Swami, sometimes think that Sridhar Swami belonged to the Mayavad Ekdanda sannyas, and actually this is not the case. Om jnana timarandasya ananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya mano bishtam stapitam yena bhutale Shayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Sapa Dantikam Adadanastanandante Idam Yache Punapana Srimad Rupaka Dambhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Aragya Yudbhakti Risham Puyatna Yapayam Mamanabhipsamandam Kupamburiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Panchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithyananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Ghor Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Greetings from New Jersey. I just got back from India. Actually, I checked my phone. I didn't get just about 15 minutes ago. I didn't get the time of it or the date, but it was a call from Raghunath, my disciple, many of you know, saying that his wife just went into labor for his son, and she asked me to pray that they can have a healthy child. So I think that's the first thing I'll do. I don't know if that message was because up until now I haven't checked my phone because I've been in India, but maybe the message was, maybe I would have heard about it, so I assume it's recent. So we can offer our prayers. But another nice Vaishnava is born into the world. I remember when I was in Dallas and we met Prabhupada in his room, and he asked us, what is the purpose of education? And many different people were sitting there. There's only about 10, 15 of us. I believe there's even, I even have a picture of me in Prabhupada's room, sitting there. And Prabhupada challenged, what is the purpose, you say you're teachers, what is the purpose of education? And Prabhupada, I remember Dayananda was there, and we hadn't yet gotten the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. That was a very dynamic time in Krishna consciousness because, you know, every month or every 3 months we were getting a new book. So if you get the seventh canto, you never read the story of Prahlad Maharaj. You get the, you know, eighth canto, you never read the story of Gajendra. The 11th canto, well, that came after. And what to speak when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. So it created a real dynamicism and excitement because, you know, we were baby Vaishnavas. You know, it created a certain humility. We didn't know so much. You couldn't go on the internet and read everything. We didn't know so much. When a book came out with a story you may have heard something about to get the details, you know, it created a good atmosphere of learning. And as Jiva Goswami said, we're here in this world because of ignorance. Therefore, to liberate us, Krishna has given us knowledge, and that's in form of the Shastra. That's what the Shastra is for. So unless you hear the Shastra, you won't, and from a qualified person, Prabhupada's purports or someone speaking on that has some realization and understanding, you won't clear your ignorance. And ignorance is the root cause of all suffering. Because of ignorance, we do what's wrong. And what we do, that causes suffering. Therefore, Prabhupada said, the fundamental question of human life is why I am suffering. It's such a beautiful little statement by Prabhupada. Why I am suffering, first thing you have to ask is, what did I do wrong? The next question you have to ask to get to the root cause is, what should I be doing? And that comes to the point, who am I? You know, what am I made of and what am I made for? It leads to self-realization. So unless you get knowledge and understanding to clear up ignorance and establish a clear understanding of the self, you're not going to move in the right direction. You're not going to have the right thoughts. You're not going to have the right determination. You're not going to have the right actions. And you're going to suffer. Anyway, we were in Prabhupada's room. So these books, so Dayananda mentions nine things. And because Dayananda knew Sanskrit. So he should go a little bit ahead. And he quoted that verse, which really we didn't know yet. Because it was in the seventh canto. Shundata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam. The nine processes of devotional service. And Prabhupada wasn't exactly satisfied with that answer. And therefore, someone else said four things. Quoted the Bhagavad Gita, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhya Ji Man Namaskaro. Think of me, worship me, Prabhupada, not quite. And then Prabhupada quoted the real essence. Guru na sishyat, swajanina sishyat, do not become a guru, do not become a parent, do not become a teacher, do not become the head of a government, do not, unless you can liberate your charge from the world of birth and death. So that's our responsibility in whatever position of authority we have. Anyway, before I get into this topic of sannyas, traveling on the airplane, and I guess my chest is a little bit, so excuse me if my voice is not, 100% clear. But also, in the beginning of the class today, when I was chanting Radharani Ki Jai, Maharani Ki Jai, because I'm here in America, I was just in Vrindavan, and basically Vrindavan and Govardhan for six months. I can understand the importance. I can understand the importance of the mood of separation and how it invokes attachment, because I really feel, chanting today in that mood of separation, the attachment is greater than even sometimes when I'm there. Of course, without getting the attraction by being there in Vrindavan, you can't have the separation for it. But I can see how the mood of separation is such a complementary feeling in spiritual life to help us invoke the proper emotions of attachment. And in fact, separation has to always be there for attachment to remain at its pinnacle. And therefore, even in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, they're always feeling, even when they're with Krishna, their attachment is deepened by the mood that maybe he may go. So even in Vrindavan, in union with Krishna, the embankment of separation is always there. Anyway, now I guess I can talk a little bit about the topic today, about sannyas. It's kind of strange because now I don't really feel like giving a class, definitely not talking about myself. To talk about oneself is, it's death. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the mature Brahmin, he winds up the first time in Vrindavan, the mature Brahmin, but he's not living in Vrindavan, and he has the Gopal mantra. But he doesn't have some Bandhagyan, he doesn't have a guru to give him direction. So he has the mantra. The mantra will purify his heart. Devotion will lead you in the right direction. But unless you have some Bandhagyan, which is the proper discriminatory understanding, your direction will be trial and error. It won't be the straight and narrow path. You'll have time. In other words, that's the whole story of Gop Kumar. When he's ascending to the spiritual world, he has the mantra, but his guru left. So he doesn't have guru. So he doesn't have proper direction. So he tries so many things. They don't satisfy him because he has the mantra. And the mantra gives him some taste for bhakti. So ultimately, when you have the seed of bhakti, you won't be satisfied in other places. But because you don't have discrimination, you'll sometimes go in other places. But so you'll leave that place because it won't satisfy the heart once you get the seed of devotion in your heart, the taste for Krishna consciousness in your heart. But then, you'll look and you'll try something else and you'll move in that direction. Anyway, this Mathura Brahman, he heard Gop Kumar chanting in the forest of Keshi Ghat, and then he told him his story, and then Gop Kumar realized that, you know, I can help this person, and the reason I can help this person is because I went through the same thing that he went through. Therefore, in spreading Krishna consciousness, it's important to have a variety of people who can set examples for different people according to their experience. Even in terms of gender, in terms of different places, different cultures, different languages, different types of... Because you can best instruct someone when you've gone through the same thing they've gone. So Gop Kumar went through the exact same thing with this Mathura Brahmin, because he also had gotten the Gopal Mantra, but he didn't have Guru. And same thing with the Mathura Brahmin. So Gop Kumar was in a dilemma. Should I explain this story, but I have to tell about myself? And he quoted some verse, to tell about oneself is worse than death. But then he thought, the principle of compassion will save it. Jivadoi Krishnanam Sarva Dharma, the supreme duty of the living entity is to give compassion to the living entities. And that duty takes precedent over everything else. So he thought, out of compassion, I will do it. I'm not saying my story is out of compassion, but I'm just telling you my reluctance. I had a particular reason why I wanted to celebrate or remember my sannyas, but that reason doesn't seem as prominent now. But since I announced it, I will discuss something, and hopefully it will have some relevance. Of course, Prabhupada mentions, this is the story of the Avanti Brahmin. It's in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, and this particular verse is very significant. Etam astaya paratam. It's the Avanti Brahmin, this very, very greedy person. He was such a greedy person. Karmically, when something is not, when you don't use something properly, you can be assured that it will be taken away from you. Whether it's position, whether it's wealth, and that's the mood of a devotee. That, you know, by God's grace, you're given certain assets, and they're meant to be used in service of God. And when they're not used properly, I think this phrase, waste, means want. It's a thing. If you waste your time will be taken from you. And, you know, I'm thinking myself that, you know, in this particular life, especially in the last 10 years, God has given me time. Somehow or other, he hasn't put me in I see so many people, I did so many, you know, people, especially the hostas, between work and family, they don't have a minute. You know, and spiritual life, and social obligations. This is the nature. This is what Prabhupada, when he was thinking of spreading Krishna consciousness, for many reasons, initially he was bringing everybody into the temples, and when he saw people needed to get married, he had that idea of vanashram, let me establish a rural community. The basic reason is because modern life doesn't give one time. So, I was just thinking myself that God, last 10 years, has given me time. I should not waste it. Because if I waste it, he'll take away that time. And if we find ourselves in a situation we have no time, then maybe we should feel like, previously I wasted that time. I wasted the time that I could have been using in Krishna consciousness. And think, in this life, if now I'm busy and I'm overwhelmed, God, oh Krishna, if you give me that time, I won't waste it. And I see that with people. When you know, they're not having time for Krishna, they develop a longing for it, and when they get it, they use it properly. So I'm so this Avanti Brahmin, he just wasted his wealth. He just wouldn't spend it on anything. And sure enough, whatever it is, by providence, by thievery, by bad business, by whatever, Krishna took it away. And that invoked within him a detachment from the world. And he just left, and the world became detached. But because of his previous reputation, he was constantly abused. He was constantly abused. People did, I don't even want to mention what people did. They urinated on him, they spit on him, they chained him up as a pet animal. And this detachment, you know, and detachment, which basically means the control of the senses, developed in him, this is a natural progression, developed in him a tremendous tolerance. From that tolerance came forgiveness, never wasting time. And this verse, this particular verse, is the culmination of his determination and experience in the world that I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean meshes by being firmly fixed in the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who have fixed and firm devotion to Lord Brahma. The reason I'm saying this is because this is the sannyas verse. And the significance of this verse, besides the fact that Prabhupada, when he would give sannyas, would always explain this verse, but the significance of it is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he took sannyas, basically, it's very interesting because in that type of culture, it is respected. Wonderful thing in a Vanashram culture, Vanashram, such a wonderful check in the social system. If you want to be number one in society, you have to give up everything. And sannyas means complete renunciation. And if you want to have all power and opulence, then you have to be number two. The Kshatriyas are under the Brahmins. So in the whole society, the goal is moving towards renunciation, because even if there's some ego in you and you want to be number one, then you have to give up everything. It's not... Someone has to mute their phone because I hear the breathing into the phone. Okay. That's number six, yeah. So, so Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas. It's so significant what that sannyas means. That when he took sannyas, then immediately he left for Vrindavan. And even though he took eight danda sannyas, which is basically the Mayavad sannyas in that particular line, The spirit, he took that because that was the order, and it's respected. And Lord Chaitanya, for giving Krishna consciousness to others, he saw that in the social system, that the faith would be there, and with faith, he could help people in Krishna consciousness. If people have faith in you, and people respect you, then you're able to educate them. So the sannyas, the spiritual master of all other vanas and orders, and he took the sannyas, the existing one, simply to preach Krishna consciousness. People weren't taking him seriously. But when he took sannyas, the first thing he did is he was heading directly to Vrindavan, and he chanted this particular verse. What is sannyas? It's a cross over the insurmountable by being in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, sannyas, sun also means sat or truth. What means to give up? You give up everything but the truth. Therefore, it mentions the tree bunda, sannyas, when you take sannyas, you have to get the bunda is your height, and you need to make your own bunda generally, or you can get it, but you take three bamboos. You actually take four bamboos, and one you cut off about a foot from the top, and about 6 inches from the top, and you make that little tree bundle, which is called the jeev bundle, to indicate to separate it from the eighth bundle, saying that there's only one, that there's duality, there's the living entity and the Supreme Lord. And tree bundle means to dedicate one's life with mind, body, and words. That's what sannyas means. It's the consciousness or attitude. And there's some formality in the social system for preaching and for detaching oneself for that dedication. But serving with work, with body, with words. And when one takes a class, interestingly enough, he gets another Gayatri mantra. We get, eight Gayatri mantra. You get another Gayatri mantra, and that's called the Gopi Bhava mantra. And what is the relationship between sannyas and Gopi Bhava? Because who are the greatest sannyasis? Who are the greatest renunciates? Who gave up everything to worship the lotus feet of Mukunda? That's the Gopis. Gopis gave up everything. They gave up their good karma. And what's their good karma? Their social position, their family, everything. So that's the real position of sannyas. It's the consciousness. Now just gotta figure out what time it is so I don't go, So let me just tell you a little bit now about sannyas and ISKCON. Prabhupada said, he said sometimes if there's any criticism from his god brothers, the criticism that he said was probably correct is that he prematurely gave sannyas to young men. Prabhupada was giving sannyas. I mean, you can imagine this. He was giving sannyas to people who were 21 and 22 years old. I remember when he gave Guru Kripa and he said Anandana Swami sannyas and Radha Damodar. They were 21 years old. And then they went out and they were going to go preaching. So they wanted to conquer all the other philosophies. So this is what Chaitanya did. So they went to the Madhvacharya. Now, the system, I explained this before because I come from Udupi, is that in that line, they're very strict who they give sannyas to, and they do astrology. They actually search in particular Brahmin families for people who have the samskara, the impressions for renunciation, and they're trained from a very, very early age. And that when the senior sannyasi dies, then the junior sannyasi becomes the senior sannyasi, and then he chooses a junior sannyasi. And sometimes they're 12, 13 years old. So, and they're very, very strict in terms of, because you have to be in the mode of goodness, because if you're in the mode of passion, you'll be attracted to passion, which means sex desire. And therefore, they're very, very careful how they live. this is basically, you know, it says in the Bhagavatam very clearly that chanting Hare Krishna alone is sufficient. But then, Jiva Goswami describes, but then what is the necessity for initiation? And he describes this necessity of initiation. The Pancharat initiation is basically Pancharatiki Vidhi. What is the necessity for initiation? Well, basically, because we're so impure, and therefore our minds are not so focused and concentrated in spiritual life. So when initiation means, especially diksha means, you get the deity. So what happens when you have the deity? When you have a deity, it's supposed to focus your life in such a way that you become pure. Because when you have a deity, you have to become regulated, and you have to become clean. So it means in your daily life, you have to start thinking about Krishna. In your daily life, this is really not just to put like some dolls in your living room, but really when you actually get diksha and you actually start worshiping the deity and you're trained to do it properly, then you have to start thinking of God in terms of your home, in terms of your kitchen, in terms of the way you dress, in terms of what you say. It's like that. And it's not like Hari Bhakti Vilas, which I think Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave, like the real strict rules. Because then, you can't even move without washing your hands. You can't even touch anything that you're going to offer to Krishna. Like they say, even if you're chanting your rounds and then you touch something, then that becomes prasadam practically or something like that. There's very rigid rules. But the reason is so that in the world, you're forced to live purely, which affects your internal consciousness. Anyway, these mudva sannyasis, they not only, they live it, they have to bathe in a holy river, or a tank or a holy pond, they cook only on cow dung, they just, like, there's so many, that's what vidhi means, that's what rules means, and it keeps one pure. So they went and they met the Madhva Acharya, and I met one of them too. They're very, very far out, since an early, so learned and so, they're so rigid in their rules, but it keeps a certain purity in their consciousness. And they looked at him. They were only 21. This person has been studying Sanskrit for 40 years. The first thing, they look at them and they challenge him. And Yasoda Nanda had a French-Canadian accent. He said, "What are the three aspects of the absolute truth?" And the person was laughing. He thought he wasn't even envious of them. He just was amused. So, this is what Prabhupada gave sannyas, and what to speak, people were hippies, and therefore there were so many impressions for sense gratification, which was also a disqualification. In other words, according to how you get your pleasure when you're young, it will create impressions in the consciousness that will always be seeking to be filled with the same objects that caused happiness. That's why, something like drug addiction is so heavy for people, because it gives the material pleasure, and it creates a desire for the thing that caused it. And for once taking it, you can say you're an addict the rest of your life, even if you give it up, because you have that impression in your consciousness that's pushing you. So when you have those impressions from your previous life, for sex life, the material enjoyment, the material acquisition, and you're born in a sinful world where you do sinful activities in your life, it's very difficult to renounce the world in that way. Because the impressions remain in your consciousness. especially to sex life. And even, it's described in the Yoga Sutras that a great yogi can burn the seeds of sex life. You know, he can burn these seeds, but still they always can be activated. And I was speaking, I have this a friend, Edward Bryant, Advaita, who's a professor, and he's studying the Yoga Sutras, and I sometimes visit him in Princeton, he has a big library, and I read about all these people, the biographies of people who came to the West, and they were great yogis in the Himalayas, and they practically all fell down to sex life. And he was describing the reason is because they were in a culture initially that protected them from close association with the opposite sex, and then they came in the Western countries. And then, with the free association, these seeds again began to grow. So Prabhupada said, yes, he said, when he was criticized, he said, this criticism is right. He said, but what could I do? And then Prabhupada quoted a Bengali phrase. He said, when there's no trees in the forest, the castor oil tree looks big. Now the castor oil tree is a very, very, you know, small, a couple of feet tree. So when there's no, so basically he said, because just like Lord Chaitanya, he had to, you know, he took sannyas, so there would be some social distinction, and therefore people could approach him, and you create some social distinction, it allows you to communicate your knowledge. And therefore, Prabhupada was just searching. You know, he knew he needed to do it, so he was just searching. He had to make those social distinctions and create the sannyas order for preaching, for people to be spiritual leaders and dedicate themselves to Krishna consciousness. But what could he do? I know in the Prabhupada's room, over his bed was there was a picture of him on the steps of some temple with his, you know, 50 disciples or something. And then after he left, I noticed I came back there and someone stole that picture. Probably because if you look in that picture, even a year or two after Prabhupada left, there were very, very few of those sannyasis left. You know, there's very, very few of those sannyasis left. And actually, I'm thinking of the initial sannyasis that Prabhupada gave sannyas. Jayadvaita Maharaj took sannyas right after Prabhupada left. So did Giriraj Swami. Because they were quite, so did Indrajumna Swami. Those were probably the three that took maybe a year after Prabhupada left. And obviously they were very, very qualified, and certainly they could have taken when Prabhupada was there, but for different reasons, Prabhupada would guess or not guess. But I was just thinking, I would think there's maybe, I can only think of seven sannyasis, seven of our sannyasis out of like maybe 100, seven of Prabhupada's disciples, that are still sannyasis. And the rest have fell down, or they left the world, like Amar Krishna Maharaj, Sridhar Swami, Gaur-Govinda Maharaj. They were, took sannyas. Other than that, I can think of Jayapataka Swami, Trivikram Swami. He was a sannyasi when I came to the temple in 1970. That's 37 years. Sannyasi. There's Nisringa Maharaj, Ridayananda Maharaj, Satsrup Maharaj, Tripurari Maharaj, and Lokanath Swami. I can only think of seven. So, and I, you know, someone once told me too, you know, sometimes people criticize, and rightly so, the kind of fervor that we had in the early days of the movement. And said, you know, yeah, we were crazy, but we were fired up. And people also did things. you know, young people that just went all over the world and tried to sacrifice, you know, everything. Very, very interesting phenomenon. I mean, I take it personally, like, you know, almost, I would say, I mean, if I knew now and I knew that, would I have taken sannyas? Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, just to see, I think I'm very fortunate that by Krishna's grace and maybe because of my ego, I was able to, you know, stay on that path of renunciation. Maybe it also runs in my family. Some of you also met my cousin, Maseva Bharti. She actually took sannyas in the traditional Shankara line. And they perform even your last rites. Is it sannyas is supposed to be detachment. So that you can practice dying. Because what is dying? Dying means giving up everything. So you can actually practice. I had a friend, actually he's still my friend, his name is Satyanarayan, Dr. Satyanarayan. And he's the one that translated that Bhakti Sandarbha. And somehow we remained friends over the years. And one time he said something to me. He said, the pain of dying is, he said, you know, in death, you know, you can tolerate pain because you go into coma. If there's too much pain, the body goes into coma. He said, the real pain of death is giving up one's attachments. Very interesting here. So let me just tell you just a little bit. I'll tell you I'll do it. About me taking sannyas, you know, in the early days of ISKCON, it was really, I mean, we were young. We didn't have such sufficient training and knowledge. And it was a burgeoning society and, you know, naturally, you know, what is a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is beyond envy. Nirmatsara Anam Sitam. The second verse of the Bhagavatam means, what is a devotee? Nirmatsara Anam Sitam. A devotee is not envious. And what's envious? He's not competing within the world. He doesn't, the devotee just wants to be the servant of Krishna. That's all that's in his heart. There's no other aspiration, a real devotee. He doesn't want, he's not competing. And that's the Bhagavad religion. And therefore, the second verse says, Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Namatsara Namsara. That, you know, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad religion, kicks out fruitive activity. You don't read the Bhagavatam and they don't offer you any material position. You know, they don't offer you a beautiful wife for devotional service. They don't offer you wealth. They don't offer you position, they don't offer you health, they don't offer you peace. Nothing is offered. You know, it's free from that desire. But naturally, that's the desire of this material world. So when you're a young society, you know, you have that desire. And so sannyas was kind of like, you know, like when you're young, when you're 20, you know, people want to be in a band. They want to be a lead singer. I mean, why? Because it's a material world. And you want some distinction. You want some admiration. You want some profit. So there was a great force like that. And at the same sense, you know, people were very, very sincere. And in Prabhupada's association, he inspired such dedication to Krishna that, in fact, I think a problem sometimes happened, and that in Prabhupada's presence, we had a sense of devotion and renunciation that was actually beyond our level of realization. And then sometimes when he left, you know, people had an artificial platform because it was being held up by his inspiration. Which is another point about spiritual life that's so important. That you can get inspiration from a sadhu, but to remain steady, you have to put yourself in a sattvic lifestyle. Otherwise, it's hard to remain steady. You know, a sattvic lifestyle, very important, actually, what we eat. It's very important what we eat, really. I know for practical necessity, people have to eat all kinds of things, but it has its effect on the consciousness for sure. Somehow or other in that area, you know, I was an up-and-coming star. Maybe I had a little something for enunciation and detachment, and I was, you know, again, when there's no trees in the forest, the castor oil tree looks big. Maybe I look like I even had some knowledge. It just was an artificial, you know, someone called it, Lord of the Flies, if you know that story. I mean, when you're just kids, you know, a big kid looks like the father. So, you know, basically it was just young people being inspired in Krishna consciousness by Prabhupada and ready to take over the world. But of course, you weren't yet purified. But anyway, whatever the reason, whatever the sincerity, somehow or other, I was asked, would you like to take sannyas, you know, by my GBC? And, you know, I felt quite honored. But there was one difficulty. Because at that time in ISKCON, there was, if you'll excuse me today, I'll probably go. I know it's the work day, and I don't like to keep people up. I'm even thinking of maybe taking a poll among the listeners if you want to move it up to 8. The reason I have it at 9 is because the cell phones are, you know, for free. So I don't know if the economic thing is more important, but some people have unlimited calls or whatever they have. But I'll be a little bit... But it's just kind of interesting, but it was the Zonal Acharya time, and you were kind of socially bound to take initiation, whatever initiation that was, within your particular Zonal Acharya. And you know, they were promoting that. I was actually opposed to that, the Zonal Acharya system, at the very, very beginning, and I remember one time that four of the Zonal Acharyas called me into their room, and they were upset because, I mean, I wasn't a prominent one, but I was kind of in that it was the wrong system. At least I got that right. And they were all sitting on chairs, and I was sitting on the floor with one or two other guard brothers, and Dr. Sharma was this old Indian man, you know, powerful, you know, and they were having him sit on, they were all sitting on chairs, and it was like, it was the real heavies. It was Bhagavan and Bhavananda and someone else. And I just asked them a question. I just said, because they were going to instill the Zonal Acharya in our temple. And they were going to give a Vyasasan for him right next to Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And many of you don't know that they actually built in on the side of Prabhupada's altar, taking away the plaques that had his name. There were two marble Vyasasans that were made. And one was for the particular Zonal Acharya. So I was objecting, and they looked at me, and they said, don't you understand, the Guru is one. And they said, Vande Hum Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha. We say, you know, we worship all our Gurus. But somehow, even though I was like a young devotee, I kind of knew the purport of that verse. It doesn't mean you just worship any guru. That means the guru's in your line. You know? So I said, doesn't that mean guru, the plural, it just doesn't refer you to just worship any guru. It means you worship your gurus in your line. And boy, they got so upset with me at that time. And even one person said, you have no love for Prabhupada. That's the way it was at that time. So there's a lot of pressure. But somehow or other, although I really liked Bhavananda as a manager, he was actually a manager. He was very, very personal. He had very good managerial qualities. Anyone who worked for him knew that. They really liked him. He was actually a good manager. And very personal with people. He knew how to empower, inspire people. So I liked him as a manager. But I didn't have faith in his enunciation. So I didn't really want to take sannyas from him. So I didn't really know what to do. So at that time, and this is before the conflict was there, Narayan Maharaj was a friend of ISKCON. He was respected, and sometimes people go to him for advice. And he was very, very learned, and he didn't have any disciples, and he would just sit in his room in Mathura chanting and reading, and if you go, there was no one there. And, you know, we used to invite him for our Balaram festival and different functions. It was very nice. So, you know, I went, and I asked him. At that time, if I had a question, I would ask him. And I asked him, you know, that there's a zonal acharya, but I'm not really inspired. I want to pick someone who inspired me in renunciation. But they're telling me it's just a formality. It's just a formality. You take from whoever you want. And he said something. It was very wise. He said, no, there are no formalities in Vaishnava relationships. And then he thought about it, that, yeah, relationship means there's something real. Otherwise, it's not relationship. And what to speak? In any relationship, there's a transference. If you take sannyas, you want to take sannyas from a person who can transfer the qualities of sannyas. And to me, Bhavananda, although he was a good manager and even a nice devotee, he didn't exemplify that at all. In fact, when Hamsa Duda, he kind of left for a while, and then he came back for Prabhupada's disappearance. And he was a really far-out character. And he came with a guitar, and he sang on Prabhupada's disappearance a song to all the gurus, in like a folk song. And when he came to Bhavananda, he sang this song. I mean, it shocked me, but it exemplified, you know, why do you want to take sannyas from Bhavananda? The song went, rubies, diamonds, rings, and gold. Rubies, diamonds, rings, and pearl, just to attract fools to the spiritual world. Dashing, handsome, and carefree, Bhavananda Goswami. So anyway... and Bhavananda lived a very opulent lifestyle. So anyway, somehow or other, after Narayan Maharaj told me that, somehow I went to speak to Bhavananda, and somehow Krishna gave me the intelligence in a way to tell him that I was more inspired by Satsrup Maharaj. I mean, Satsrup Maharaj was sleeping 4 hours a day, you know, would wake up at 12 o'clock midnight, you know, every day, and then, you know, write for 4 hours, and, you know, he was quite, you know, an example of renunciation. And when I was in Dallas, he was also there, and, you know, he would come in, and he would take the sadhana for, like, like 10 minutes, and then he would, you know, every day, he would go out, and for an hour, he would distribute books. He would do book distribution. I mean, he was such an example of renunciation. And, so, you know, that kind of inspired me that if I want to take sannyas, that would be a better relationship to inspire me in that ashram. So I remember I went to Satsrup Maharaj, and I told him, and he was very humble because, you know, he was very revered, you know, and but he's very humble. He couldn't understand why, you know, I would want to, you know, ask him for sannyas or something. But I told him one thing. I said, there's one thing, though, is I don't want to travel, and I want to stay in Vrindavan. And, you know, he told me a very nice thing. He said, one time Prabhupada told me, if a preacher has a good place, he can stay in one place, and that's very good. Just like a person who has a good business location can make more than a traveling salesman. So I said, and that's good for me because I like to stay in Vrindavan. And that's called Kshetra Sannyas. Like Gadadhar Pandit, it described that he took sannyas, but he took Kshetra Sannyas. he never left Puri. And when he tried to leave Puri, to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back. So that's kind of another type of sannyas. So, you know, and to this day, I mean, I come to the West, but at least I spend 6 months, and I'm feeling even more and more that my service in preaching is in Vrindavan. When I'm here, I have time now for writing and study. I'm looking forward to giving these sanghas because now I'll have plenty of time to pick. When I'm in Vrindavan now, it's just nonstop. So many people coming from around the world, and they come to the holy places. They want to have somewhat experience there. Or some, so many, it's increasing every year. It's just for me, it's nonstop. Once I get to Vrindavan, especially, you know, or after Kartik, or right before Gaur Purnima, so many people coming. So then somehow or other, anyway, I was approved to take sannyas. I wasn't even 32 yet. Probably, you know, younger than most of my disciples. And probably it was a kind of madness. It wasn't kind of like a thoughtful, you know, it was a madness. I mean, just our conception. At that time, even if someone get married, when someone say, I'm getting married, it was like a disgrace. It was a fall down. I mean, that's the way the movement was. It was, you know, it was so renunciation-based, artificially, though. It was a misconception of devotion. So Prabhupada said, it's not the dress, it's the attitude. But, of course, being free from family responsibilities can give someone more time to spread Krishna. But if you look at the whole example of the Gaudiya Math, there were so many store sannyasis, but who was the person to carry on most fully the legacy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta? It was somebody who went through the Grihastha Ashram. You know, and then if you see some of the renounced Grihasthas in our movement, like Bhurijan Prabhu, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, or their Bahu, you know, their level of life and their simplicity matches, you know, any sannyasi, you know, actually speaking, you can see in many, many ways. I mean, there's a simplicity. So, you know, but still, Lord Chaitanya set the example, you know, for preaching Krishna consciousness. Very, very favorable. In fact, Prabhupada himself, in the story of Prabhupada sannyas, is he was a little bit, at least external leader, he was a little bit afraid of taking sannyas. You know, he was worried, and then somehow he had dreams about it, and then his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pagyan Keshava Maharaj, came to him and, you know, implored him that if you want to lead a preaching movement, then you should take sannyas. And then Prabhupada said, well, I'll take sannyas if he'll take sannyas. And there was an old man with Prabhupada. He was a married man. He was, you know, 93, had family. And then his name was Sanatan Das. And then he said, okay, I will take sannyas. In fact, in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math every year, I used to be instrumental in organizing the festival of Prabhupada sannyas at the place he took sannyas, and with the people who were there when he took sannyas. Prabhupada himself, you know, set that example. So in the preaching movement, it's, I often joke also that when someone asked me, why did I, because there was so much politics, we were just young and, you know, the age of quarrel and confusion, and then all of a sudden young people artificially getting these positions of authority, people becoming gurus at the age of 28 or 29, and, you know, without that real culture. Of, you know, people, you know, being grown up in that that type of culture. Someone asked me why I wanted to take sannyas. I used to joke because I wanted a stick to fight the other people with sticks. It was almost like an equal battle. But anyway, I'm going to Mayapur that year, and I'm supposed to take sannyas on Gaur Purnima 25 years ago. And instead, on this day, I remember it very, very clearly. I was walking by the long building, and Bhurijan came running over, and he said, actually, Satyarup Maharaj has to go to, Satyarup Maharaj has to go to England because there was something with some people leaving or something. There was some crisis, as there always is every year. And he says you have to take sannyasin in 2 hours. I remember I had to get shaved. I had to dye my clothes, make the danda. And on top of the long building, that's where Satchit Maharaj used to stay, in these rooms. And it was very, very impressive. There were five of us that were taking sannyas. There's only two left. Myself and Paladananda Swami. That's 1982. I guess I'm one of the senior sannyasis, actually, before many people. But and then there was a Mahakram and a Gari, and maybe there was four, but maybe there was someone else. There was someone else who left. And anyway, I forgot. But it was very impressive because traveling is the mode of passion, and Satchit Maharaj had a few hours, and to sit down, and actually do, there wasn't even a fire yajna. He just gave a lecture and then gave us the sannyas mantra, the Gopi Baba mantra. And he gave a beautiful, beautiful lecture. I was so impressed because, at the same time, I think, maybe Baladev or someone was packing around him, and then you have to go, and then you have to sit down. I was so impressed that he was able to give such a thoughtful lecture, and he was so in the mode of goodness. It was so impressive. And he gave a lecture from the Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter, which describes the divine and the demoniac nature. And the first verse it gives the divine qualities according to one's ashram. So for the sannyas ashram, my God, am I going over? It's Abhayam Satvasamshudhim Jnana Yoga Vivastita. I'll just tell this. And Satchit Maharaj gave this incredible lecture. A sannyas should be philosophical. I was very inspired by that. And he said, just like Prabhupada was looking at the original Happenings album, the first Krishna Meditation album. I think it was called Happenings album. The Prabhupada looked at it and said, oh, I look very philosophical. So Prabhupada liked that and stuck to some shrewd him. And he described the main instruction that Prabhupada gave him when he took sannyas, I believe at Hridayananda Maharaj. And he said that when you go to a rich man's house that's having material enjoyment and family, you should never think, oh, I could have had this. He said you should be happy in your sannyas. And I forgot, maybe he said like Lokanath or something. You should be jolly in your sannyas. And then Abhayam, fearless. A sannyasi should be fearless. He should take risks for Krishna. We have to be very, very careful. When you set up a society, and then sannyasis just go around and go to places and it's all set up that, when you have that renounced lifestyle, if you're a sannyasi and you're not undergoing the tribulations of household life, you have to undergo austerities to become purified. Traveling around, you have to be careful, with the lifestyle and the thing that could be done. You have to actually perform austerities. So, one should be bold. You should go out and you should do things. You should not just wait for destiny to unfold, but he should attack his destiny by acting boldly to spread Krishna consciousness. And this is actually what sannyas is for. Of course, it's also to maintain temples, et cetera, but it's also to lead the preaching movement. Prabhupada would send his sannyasis, out, in that way. So he described the sannyasi should be a fearless. And then Prabhupada described when they were building the Victorian Memorial when he was young, it was scaffolding, and he told his disciples, I climbed to the very, very top. And people said to him, Oh, you must have been very, very brave. And the Prabhupada said, I am still brave. Otherwise, how would I have come here alone? So Prabhupada is the acharya. He sets the example for the for sannyas. He came to America alone. He traveled across the sea alone. He went to New York City alone. He was bold. And a sannyasi should be detached, and he can speak the truth. And I'll tell you, my humble admiration to Jayadvaita Swami in the history of ISKCON, he has no attachment. Even I was joking, his suchi bag he gets from the airport, those waste bags, he has no attachment. He doesn't even take disciples. He doesn't have any position. He's not attached. And because he's not attached, he can always fearlessly speak the truth. And when you're in an institutional setting, sometimes institutional conceptions and ideas become fixed, not on the truth, but on the maintenance of the institution. And it's very, very difficult sometimes to speak out of that context. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure, but I see he's one person. I mean, someone called him like Narada Muni, always coming and stirring up trouble. But he's one person that there's many, but he's one exceptional person that can always boldly speak the truth. And no one can stop him because he's completely detached. And, you know, and he can, you know, in the Radha Damodar days, when the Radha Damodar party was preaching renunciation, and, you know, the people were leaving the temples, the brahmacharis, and even the husbands were leaving. You know, he sided with the grihastha, the temple presidents, against the trend. In the zonal acharya system, he just left everything and began walking on padyatra for 2 years. You know, completely spoke up. I remember, always the one to speak up. That's a Brahmin. A Brahmin is also detached. And a sannyasi should be a Brahmin. I have great admiration for him as an example of sannyas. I mean, and how many times has he saved the Krishna consciousness movement? And even recently, in relationship to me, you know, for years, you know, he spoke up even when it was popular to do so. You know, so anyway, abhayam, fearless. I'm actually speaking this, I'm just feeling myself, I have to become more bold. I have to become more fearless. I have to go out on my own and actually, you know, spread Krishna consciousness and actually follow Prabhupada's example. You know, and that's how Krishna consciousness will spread. I'm just going to read one more thing because it's just such a beautiful purport. And it just take a second. Once a certain sannyasi was insulted in many ways by impious men. However, with determination, he remembered that he was suffering the fruits of his own previous karma. I will narrate this story. Bhaktisiddhanta comments, often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious person. This analogy, however, is superficial since the punishment is actually the cumulative result of one's past karma. Some renunciants show a lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins. They're thus forced to enter again into the path of impious life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore instructs that one should be as tolerant as a tree. If a neophyte on the path of devotional service to the Lord's pure devotee is attacked by envious persons, he should accept it as a consequence of his previous fruitive activities. One should be intelligent and avoid future unhappiness by rejecting the ethic of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If one refuses to enter into enmity with envious men, they will automatically leave him alone. Not any time for questions today, and I really I spoke so much over, but if anybody in the last 2 minutes, because it's already almost 10:30, I'm very sorry, would like to say Hare Krishna. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Anastasia.
Hare Krishna. Did you get my letter?
Yes, I got your letter that I should be waiting for your answer.
Yeah, I was actually writing it today because this was actually the first day that I'm able to sit down and I got back my computer. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the lecture.
Thank you so much, Anastasia. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello. Is that Stella?
Yes.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you for taking sannyas.
We were mad. We were crazy. But sometimes, you know, you do the right thing for the wrong reason? Yeah, I think I did the right thing for the wrong reason.
Bye.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Nanda Tanuja.
Nanda Tanuja. So nice to hear from you. It's great. Seeing you in Vrindavan, that was great. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Deva Deva Dasi.
Deva Deva, will I see you on Sunday, maybe?
Yes, you will.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Govardhan.
Okay, Govardhan. Hare Krishna. Hope I maybe see you on Sunday and then in 2 weeks at your home. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Eka Chakra Das.
Eka Chakra. Okay, I'll probably call you tomorrow and finalize that. Sorry to keep you up so late.
No, this is the nectar. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, it's so late. Let's just go. Vanshikopa Tarubya Shakuta Sindhu Veva Chapati Kanam Pabani Veo Vaishnavi Veo Namo Namah.